Father, I thank you, Lord, as always, because the entrance of your word brings light. Glory to God. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning as we read through this word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, this is part two of Psalms 119, the word of God, so powerful. We started reading through it and commenting on some key verses yesterday, and we are going to continue today. Today, we'll continue at verse 57. I'll see if I can cover quite a bit this morning, because I got one more day after this to finish this long, long song. So we start it today at verse 57. And remember the things which we have already read, many of the things that we've already covered here. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, that's how he started, who walk in the law of the Lord, and so forth. Keep his testimonies. He talked about wherewithal shall a young man be cleanse his ways, by taking heed according to thy word. He talked about thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. He talked about delighting himself in thy statutes. He said, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And then he said, oh, he prayed a prayer also, open thou mine eyes that I may behold and see wondrous things out of thy word. Also, he said, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors, and my soul melted for heaviness. Well, whenever I'm in trouble, he said, Lord, strengthen me according to thy word. That's a good prayer. When you are in heaviness, when you are faced with challenges, draw strength from the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. He talked about, pray the prayer. He said, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken thou me in the way, and let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. And on and on and on. And, he said, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. That's a beautiful one. Verse 49. Remember thy word, O Lord, unto me, because I hope in thy word. And he said, this is my comfort, even in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Now let's go and pick today's lesson up from verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, according to thy word. Just pray these prayers along as we read them. I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. You see how this man, he ran after the commandments of the Lord. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Even when people took advantage of him, he still stayed with the word of God. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear the Lord and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes, O Lord. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Now, verse 67, there's a key lesson here to learn. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And that's a key lesson to learn there. But now have I kept thy word. So this is telling us that sometimes, it's not all the time, some afflictions that doesn't come because of our error. In fact, they asked Jesus about that in John chapter 9, for the man that was born blind 40 years. They said, who was he that sinned? Was it this man or his parents? And John said, well, it was neither this man's sin nor yet his parents that caused his blindness from his birth. but that the works of the Lord might be made manifest in him. And for me, that's one of the hardest things that I could read in that Bible. Man was blind for 40 years, that the works of the Lord might be made manifest in him. Well, the Lord is the potter, and we are the clay. God's works were not made manifest in him because of his blindness, but they were made manifest in him on the day of his healing. Hallelujah. And the man himself gave a great testimony. They told him, look, you can't do these things. You can't even carry your bed on a Sabbath day, this and that. How did you get your sight? A man told them, look, one thing I know, this man, told me what to do. And I'm healed now. He said, well, the man must be a sinner because he doesn't keep the law. Should not have healed you on the Sabbath day. You can see how hard the heart of those people were. They didn't care about anybody's welfare. All they cared about was their law and dogmas and creed, which they didn't even understand anyway. They didn't understand that I will have mercy and not judgment. And God said, look, even the day was made for us, not the other way around. We're not going to be subject to, keep this day, keep that day. If you can do good, do it, even on the Sabbath day. Praise the Lord. And Jesus told it. But see, sometimes affliction can also come because of going astray. We read a story in Matthew chapter 18, the story of the wicked servant that would not forgive his fellow servant, even though he was forgiven, something that was 10,000 times bigger. And he would not forgive somebody that owed him a little penny. And at the end of the day, his own forgiveness was rescinded. And there was commandment given for him to be cast to the tormentors. In that particular case, we see that his torment and his affliction came upon him because of his unforgiveness. And so, David, the psalmist is saying here, before I was afflicted, I went astray. We know at least one story in his life where that actually happened. He was afflicted through the loss of a child, but he went astray before that happened. At the time when kings went to war, should have gone to war because he was a man of war. He was idle. And because he was idle, he went up on the rooftop. And his eyes started glancing around. Well, at the moment, even when you saw that, should have turned your eyes away from that. But you continue to gaze and continue to look. And James said, look, let nobody say, when they are tempted that it's the Lord. Because they are drawn away of their own lust. It was the lust of his heart that drew him away into that. Could have turned himself away and walked away. But he didn't. And one thing left to another, and lust, when it is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. And so, it caused the death of that son in his life. He was afflicted, but he went astray first. That's what he's talking about here. But now, I have kept thy word. Thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes, O Lord. Verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. You can see almost every verse, he reverts to, speaking of his relationship with the Word of God. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. He realized it, because he said that I might learn thy statutes. Well, keep your eyes from seeing evil, and thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's, his wife or anything. He should have known that. He knew it, but he didn't follow it, and he said, well, that affliction was good for me because he brought me back to learn and to keep thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. I mean, can we say that today? I mean, is the word of God to you more than gold and silver? There's a song we used to sing, say, the Spirit of God in the heart of man is something more than gold. Well, the word of God out of his mouth, is it something more than gold to you? The psalmist said it is. You know, when I hear your word, it's more to me than even gold and silver, he said. Now, that's a man after God's heart. Even though he went astray, he repented and sought the Lord with all his heart. And the Lord said, yep, you're good. Praise the Lord. Thy hands, O Lord, have made me and fashioned me. Now, let everybody remember that. You know, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. The Lord has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, you know, his sheep, the people of his pasture. And he has made us, we have not made ourselves. Teach me, Lord, give me understanding. These are prayers. I hope you are praying along, that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Because I have hoped in thy word. Didn't he say, you know, in Psalm 34 also, the humble will hear of it and be glad when I make my boast in the Lord? Well, those that fear the Lord, when they see me, they shall be glad, because I have hoped in thy word. Well, anyone that's not glad when they see you, well, maybe a spirit of envy is upon them, you know, because they will look and say what the Lord has done for you. Well, you know, here's what he says. In the book of Numbers, chapter 23 and verse 23, he said, look, there is no enchantment against the people of God, no divination and all that. But instead, you know, the Lord is always blessing his people. And at that time and any other time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel what God hath wrought for them. Hallelujah. So, the Lord is always going to do well for you as long as you hope in his word. Never mind what anybody else says or looks or thinks of you. They're jealous or envious. That's on them. But, you know, they cannot touch what the Lord's doing for you. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. That's right. Figure it out. And that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Well, he learned that. You know, he did too. And it was really, you know, repentant for the great evil that came into his heart. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Did you know how Saul was always going after David, trying to kill him? I mean, David never did him any evil. As a matter of fact, he did him good. David conquered Goliath for him, which he couldn't do. David played him music to soften, you know, the oppressing spirit that was on him. I mean, all kinds of good things that the man did, the young man did for him. But yet, the spirit of evil stirred up inside of Saul, trying to kill him for no reason. Well, because he was envious of him, you know. And but he said, look, they do all these things against me, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. You know, many people gathered unto David who were told, most of the people who were disgruntled, you know, and the dejected people, you know, the rejects and everything, they gathered themselves unto David. And David was their captain, you know, and as many people as, you know, came by him, came unto him, you know, he was their captain. And for the most part, the Lord did great things by those people. And he said, let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart also be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Now, that's a great one to learn. You know, if you are steady, even according to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26 and verse 3, thou will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. If we keep our minds on the Lord and on his word, you will not be ashamed. Lord will keep you in perfect peace because you trusted in him. Praise the Lord. My soul, he said, verse 81, fainted for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. My eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? You know, when we are going through stuff, sometimes it seems like you are all alone. In fact, he wrote this thing, you know, in Psalm 102. He said, look, my days are declining like a shadow. I feel like a grass, you know, in the field that one day is there and the next day is gone, you know, scorched and so forth. I'm like a pelican in the wilderness. I feel like an owl in the desert, you know, and I feel like a sparrow on the top of the house. I'm all alone, he said. Well, you know, there are times when we may feel like that. There are times when it seems like the voice of the Lord is nowhere near. Well, one thing is sure. The word of God is with you. And that's why we need to know that word. Even when they take this Bible away, let that word already be written in your hearts. This is my covenant that I will keep with them and make with them in those days, saith the Lord, that I will write my law in their hearts. Not as in the beginning, because they continued not in my commandment, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. But the days come that I will write my laws in their hearts. May we open up our hearts unto the Lord, that he may inscribe by the same pen of fire by which he wrote on the stones the commandments, may he write this time into our hearts. May our hearts be a heart of flesh and not of stone. You know, that, you know, the words of God written in our hearts, we will incline our hearts unto those words in Jesus' name. So take time to study the word of God. You know, that's how the word gets written in our hearts. Because the Lord already wrote it for us. We already have this book of the Bible, which the Bible says, you know, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Meditate upon it day and night. Joshua 1 and 8 and 9 said, look, by doing so, you shall have good success in everything that you do and everywhere you go. My eyes fail for thy word. When wilt thou comfort me, O God? You know, it's like sometimes we feel like that. We're going through stuff. Family is in the hospital. We're going, you know, running up and down and things. You yourself sometimes going to hospital, running up and down. I mean, it just seems like, look, as long as we are in this flesh, all kinds of things creep up. Ideally, we want to have, you know, divine health, you know, but unfortunately, that's not always the case. You know, it looks like, you know, sometimes we just have to cry unto the Lord for help. But the promise of the Lord we have. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. He wrote in Psalm 103, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all, that's A-L-L, his benefits. Who forgiveth all, A-L-L, my iniquities, and who healeth all, A-L-L, my diseases. So, you know, yeah, these things may happen. You know, there is no guarantee that we will never be sick, but the guarantee is that when we are sick, he will heal us. It's already promised that. Said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Glory to God. Well, why would he call himself a healer if we didn't need healing? Sometimes we will need healing. Look, don't be down on yourself and say, well, why am I sick or why is my family sick? Is it because we have no faith? We don't know. These things happen. They asked Jesus, why is this man blind? And so on. You know, so, well, it's not what you think, you know, but you know, the Lord's coming through for you. So sometimes, you know, we beat up on ourselves when we are sick, when our family is going through stuff, or when this and that is happening, you know. But listen, one thing we know for sure is He has promised that He will come through for us. There's no guarantee that we will never be sick. Jesus Himself talked about it. He said, look, it is those that are sick that need a physician. If you are not sick, you don't need a physician. So Jesus even acknowledged that people will be sick. Praise the Lord. Which is why He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Everywhere He went. Praise the Lord. Now verse 33 said, I am become like a bottle in a smoke. You know, my goodness. I mean, this man, he has some words, you know, that can really describe. Pelican in the wilderness, owl in the desert, you know, sparrow on the housetop, you know, bottle in a smoke, you know, grass that is withered. That's how he felt sometimes, by himself, you know. Let me digress a little bit and share some of the words that he wrote in this, which I'm alluding to here. You know, but, you know, let's see. You can read it in Psalm 102, some of the things that he said. You know, for my days, he said, are consumed like smoke. And that's like a bottle in a smoke. Psalm 102, verse 3. And my bones are burned as an herb. My heart is smitten. I mean, it's really sorrowful. You know, there's all kinds of things. Even Absalom, everybody went up against him. You know, and with, you know, I'm withered like the grass. I even forget to eat my bread. He said, by reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. Verse 6 of 102. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl in the desert. It just feels like he's all alone. You know, I watch and I'm as a sparrow upon the housetop. My enemies reproach me all the day. You know, and so on. I've eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. You know, my days are like a shadow that declineth. When your days feel like a shadow that declineth, what should you do? Well, that's the time to praise the beauty of holiness. And He will strengthen you in the breeze of His Spirit. He will do that too. You know, so, you know, this psalmist, he had words always like that. You know, when I read this verse here, it just reminded me of Psalm 102. All the times that he cried out, you know, even in Psalm 42, he cried out. He said, look, I went down to the house of God with those that kept holy day, but yet inside of me, and isn't that the same today? I mean, you are in this room, you may, you know, we may shout and praise the Lord and listen to music and hear the good things and so forth. But inside of you, there is a heaviness. The same thing, we go into the house of God. You know, it's praising the Lord all around, but you've got your burden. You know where the shoe hurts, you know. And sometimes you feel all alone. It's like nobody understands. But I tell you what, there's no such thing. The Lord always understands, you know. Always understands, you know. I mean, when I was a young man, I used to hear this song and I hated it. Once I, you know, became a believer and I put on the garment of faith, I hated the song. The song used to say, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. I hated that song. I mean, like all these blues and things, you know, they just, you'd be so morose and everything. You know, and you just feel like down on your own. Nobody knows what I'm going through. No, what do you mean nobody knows? You know, the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes said there is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing you are going through that somebody else hasn't gone through. Sometimes some people say, well, nobody knows what I'm going through. How do you know that? You know, your situation is probably a lot better than someone else's. You know, yeah, it may be hard, but I guarantee you, you know, someone's situation is worse, you know, and there is nothing that we're going through that somebody else has not gone through or isn't going through in some other part of the world. However, you know, it's your world and it's your life. And for us, when we're going through, it's like, you know, we're the only one. And that's how it is. And I understand that. But I I want to encourage everybody that no matter what you're going through, the Lord knows. The story, which I love to tell in John chapter 5, of the man, you know, who had the infirmity 38 years and coming and waiting for the stirring of the pool. When Jesus saw him, the Bible says, when Jesus saw him and saw him lie and knew that he had been long time in that condition. See, Jesus always knows. Hallelujah. He knows your troubles. He knows your fears. He knows your ups and downs. He knows your uprising and your down sitting. He knows it all. And he wants us to trust in him. You know, but sometimes we feel like a bottle in a smoke. We feel like a pelican in the wilderness, like an owl in the desert, like a sparrow on the housetop. And we just feel like we're all alone. But you are not all alone. He is with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 84. How many are the days of thy servant? You know, I mean, sometimes... You know, it's sad that he would even think like that. You know, look, you know, when would thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? I mean, this man is even thinking, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I see a lot of evil. I mean, how long my days will be, you know, but listen, be encouraged in the Lord. You know, there's a few times he felt like this, but eventually he would encourage himself in the Lord. Eventually he would snap out of it. And that's the way I like to say it. I always say, look, snap out of it. You know, it's enough for you to be going through this stuff. And it's enough. I mean, you know, don't beat down on yourself on top of all of that. Snap out of it. Isaiah 52 and verse 2 is my favorite verse on snap out of it. I tell the people at our church all the time, snap out of it. Because the Bible says, look, in that verse, Isaiah 52 and verse 2, I love it. You know, it's saying you yourself shake yourself from the dust. You know, don't wait for somebody to come and shake the dust from you. You do it for yourself. You snap out of it. That's the way I'd like to put it. You know, loose yourself from the bands around your neck. You know, we talk about deliverance and there are anointed ministers that have power deliverance and you have faith. You know, you can use it for deliverance for people all the time. You know, I love to use my faith to help the people. But I also love to encourage the people that, look, you yourself can deliver yourself. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. You know, don't wait around and think for somebody else to do it. You know, you got to do it yourself. And I love, you know, I love the Jews. You know, they know Moses taught them, you know, an eye for an eye. You know, when they were in Egypt, they used to beat down on them. They would pummel them. They would oppress them. You know, they might even abuse their women in front of them. And they couldn't do anything because they were slaves. And for years, hundreds of years, they went through that. So finally, Moses said to them, look, you know, you got to learn how to defend yourselves. You know, back then, you couldn't defend yourself. You know, they beat you up. They did all kinds of... Right now, here is the new order of the day. An eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth. Defend yourselves. That's why Moses said all those things. Those things were not perfect. Jesus didn't like it. And Jesus came, he said, look, you have heard of them of old time that said an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and this and that. No, but, you know, I'm changing all of that, Jesus said. But, you know, till this day, you know, don't mess with those Jews because they will fight and they will defend themselves. You know, you can't do it. And we're praying for Jerusalem because the Bible says we should pray. And, you know, Jerusalem, it will be the trembling of all the earth. You know, that's the one place that's going to cause all the earth to, all the superpowers eventually gather together. We're hoping that the Lord will have mercy on, you know, this situation. You kick the can down the road a little bit, but it's coming. It is just coming. You know, there is no way around it. It's already in the scriptures. But for now, we pray for peace. We pray that Israel will have the upper hand against their enemies. and that we will not be thrown into World War III at this time. But one day it's coming, you know, the eyes will be all upon Israel and Jerusalem, you know, it'll be the centerpiece. It'll create problems, you know, everybody wants to grab a hold. I mean, you know, the Jews claim Jerusalem as their capital. The Christians, they think of it as a holy place. The Islamic folks think of it as their holy place. I mean, oh, it's a cup of trembling. It's going to be. And eventually, you know, but the Lord, he chose Jerusalem. So that's the beauty of it all. Because the Lord chose Jerusalem, he will exalt Jerusalem. There's nothing anybody can do about it. Jerusalem will be exalted. In fact, he said, look, in that day will I say Jerusalem will be my strength in the Lord. Zechariah said it. And I remember in 1982 or so, I was still in Nigeria. I know that because it was just before we left. We left in 83. And I said, you know, maybe 81 or 82, I forget. And I said to the people at the church, I said, do you know that Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel? At that time, it wasn't, you know, Tel Aviv and all of these things. And I said, why? They said, because, they said, well, Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord. Strength is the capital. I said, it will be. No matter what anybody does, Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel. But fast forward many years, whether people like it or not, you know, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And Jerusalem will be the capital of the world, not just Israel, of the world. Hallelujah. In fact, when the Lord brings down that holy city, it'll be called New Jerusalem. I mean, that's how God loves Jerusalem. And he has chosen the place, you know. It is a place of his peace, Jerusalem, you know, and that's where he will establish it. So at first time, it will be a cup of troubling, but the Lord's going to bring peace out of all of that eventually. Not the peace that the world wants. No, you destroy all of that. You know, there's going to be tremendous sorrows. It's called the, you know, the Jacob's, a time of Jacob's trouble. But at the end of it all, I make all things new. Glory to God. So right now, let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, the way you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord bless you too. And God will preserve those people. I pray that the Lord will preserve them. He says, how the proud have digged pits for me. Verse 85. You know, which are not after thy law. You know. Dig pits means, you know, subtlety, you know, but I tell you what, the eye of the eagle has seen it. For, you know, the scripture says, look, you know, you can't really, I mean, there is nothing that the Lord doesn't see, you know. So, but if you try to dig pits for God's children, you might be the one that will actually fall into it. You know, because surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. You can read that in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 17 or so. You know, if you the bird is looking at you and you are setting the trap, it's in vain. But he's looking right at you and you know, he won't do it. He won't fall for it. Yeah, that's how the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. On our behalf, he sees it all. So any trap that the enemy is setting, you know, plainly in the sight of the eyes of the eagle, the eagle motherboard, he's looking. You can't do it. We will be clean escaped in the name of Jesus. So all the pits that the enemy tries to dig, you know, we're not going to fall into it. We're going to be clean escaped in Jesus' name. All thy commandments are faithful. You know, the people that persecute me wrongfully, there's a lot of them, he said, but I pray, Lord, he said, help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth. but I forsook not thy precepts. No matter what's going on, he never turned his back against the word of the Lord. I mean, some people, when they are really going through stuff, you know, they start to be angry at God, you know, and blame God for everything. Did you know that people blame God for all the evil that happened in the world? You know, and when people die in an accident, in a ghastly accident, even believers, they will say, you know, God took him. God didn't take anybody in a ghastly accident. The enemy did that. You know, there are better ways to die than those kind of ways. You know, tragedy happens. That was tragic. But that's not God that took him. That was the enemy that did that. It's the enemy that comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I see what he does. I call bands of wickedness. The devil will take out even traffic light. He will take out, you know, the brakes of people. He will take out all these things so that they have ghastly collisions. That's not God. And if somebody died in that ghastly accident, nobody should say God took them. God didn't take them. They died, you know. So, you know, stuff happens, but it's not God. People blame the Lord and God for everything, every evil thing. Whereas we brought this evil upon ourselves, you know, the ways of our forefathers by not staying with the word of God, brought sin into the world from the Garden of Eden. And God drove them out. And from that time till now, you know, people, you know, are struggling with many things. But the Lord came and paid the price for our redemption. You know, so let's not blame the Lord for all the evil that happened to us. You know, the Lord said, I know my thoughts towards you. Jeremiah 29:11, a famous verse which we all quote. Use it for yourself. God's thought towards you are for good, not for evil. God's not going to do that. You know, I don't believe that, you know, a believer should die in a ghastly accident or, you know, or all these kind of evil things. There's better ways to die or not die at all. But, you know, it is the enemy that does those things, you know. So, I mean, when our body is afflicted with sickness, that's not God. Some people say, well, maybe it's the will of... No, it's never the will of God. It is not the will of God that you be plagued with heart disease, diabetes, cancer, leukemia, lymphoma, this and that, and whatever name. It is not the will of God. Never was the will of God. The enemy has done this. In fact, Jesus told the parable of the wheat and the tares, you know, and when he said the good man, he sowed the good seed, which is the wheat. And then overnight, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among them. You know, and then, you know, in the morning they looked, they said, where did these tares come? Did you not sow good seed? And he said, well, an enemy has done it. So anytime you see those evil works, it's the enemy that did it. The Lord may allow it. I mean, the Lord doesn't always prevent everything from happening, but it doesn't mean he did it. You know, so let's get our stories straight. The Lord, you know, in fact, if we think that it's the will of God for us to be sick, then how are we going to be healed? You can't pray against the will of God. And if it's the will of God for you or your loved one to be sick, then what's the point in praying? That's a devil's tactic to make you sit there and wallow away in affliction without getting deliverance. It is God's will to deliver us, you know, it's his will. And we must look toward that deliverance, you know. So let's not, you know, let's stop blaming the Lord for everything, you know. There was a man that came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. You know, he said, he was a leper and he came to Jesus and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, that kind of prayer, except for the mercy of God, that kind of prayer shouldn't really work. You need to know the will of God. Bible says, understanding the will of the Lord. But this man said, well, Lord, maybe it's your will, maybe it's not your will. But the Lord, he set him straight. That's what Jesus told him. You know, this was in Matthew chapter 8, you know, verse 2. And Jesus told him in verse 3, he said, look, I will. Because that's always, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Yeah, that's it. That's how Jesus responds to those things. So let's get our records straight. You know, that it is the will of God. I wish above all things, 3 John and verse 2, that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. That's God's will for us. And Jesus told this man, I will. This man wasn't sure. And he came to Jesus, but he did the right thing. See, worship is the entrance to the presence of the King. And he came and worshiped. He fell down and besought the Lord, you know. And he said, Lord, he said, but he wasn't sure whether it was God's will or not. Wasn't sure if it was the Lord's will. Maybe the Lord will heal him. Maybe the Lord won't heal him. He didn't know. Wasn't quite sure. But he did worship. And so the worship got him past all his doubts. Hallelujah. That worship will do that for you. When you get in the spirit of praise, you know, the Holy Spirit will bring confidence back into your hearts. You know, but the Lord, he put this story out there, you know, so we can know that it is his will. It's always his will for you to be healed or your loved one to be healed. It's never God's will otherwise. You know, stuff may happen to us because, you know, as long as we're in this world, these things will happen. Our outward man may perish, but inside of us, the power of the Spirit of God renews our spirit daily. So we know that these things may happen, but let's not put it on the Lord. Now, back to Psalm 189 and verse 86 was the last one we read. Thy commandments, you know, all thy commandments are faithful, he said, even though they persecute me, you know. Let me read verse 85. The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. And he, you know, he said, look, all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me, O Lord. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precept. You know, the man always turning to the law of the Lord. Quicken me, O Lord, after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep thy testimonies, you know, the testimony of thy mouth. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 89 is one that we love. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I often say, well, is it settled in your heart as well? We know it's already settled in heaven. There's no question about that. There is nothing that moves in heaven except by an unction from the Lord. So his word is settled in heaven, we know that, but let it also be settled in your heart. Hallelujah. You know, because, yeah, the heaven of heaven belongs to the Lord, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. Well, let it be settled for us here on the earth as well. You know, settle it in your heart. You know, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they settled it in their heart. Said, look, our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. That's it, right there. Settled in their hearts. Now, we know he is able, and we know he will, but, well, let's just say, you know, peradventure for whatever, even if there is a slight chance that for reasons best known to him, he may not deliver us, but our heart is settled anyway. Whether he delivers us or not, because we know he is able and he will, but even if he doesn't, we still will not bow. My goodness, that's what we call fiery furnace faith. Yeah, you know, that's it right there. Fiery furnace faith. Yeah, they'd go through any, they didn't care. You know, so this man, you know, he said, look, thy word is settled in heaven forever, O Lord. There's a song we sing for that. Thy word is settled. It is settled in heaven. Well, let it be settled in my heart also, I pray in Jesus' name. Thy faithfulness is unto all generation. Thou hast established the earth. And it abided from the beginning when God spoke the word until this day. You know, I said, even the things in the heavens, the sun, the moon, and so forth, they looked unto the Lord and they were enlightened. You know, he commanded and he stood fast. He spake and it was done until this day. You know, the things he put out there in orbit, you know, just do, do his thing. There's no maintenance that's needed. The Lord didn't have to send anybody to space to go and maintain all those stars and everything. His word, say, upheld by the word of God. You know, that's it. Kept by the power of God. All those things. Spoke it, and it's done. The word of God will sustain itself. Think of all his power. The power of his word that put things in orbit. My goodness. Until this day, you know, I love the song "My Redeemer" by, you know, this young lady Nicole, and he said, and she said, look, you know, the word of God put the seas in their place, set their boundaries. You know, who spoke to the sun? Who spoke to the moon? She said, "My Redeemer." That's what that song is called. You know, put them in his place, you know, and his word hold them in place. Ah, well, yeah, that's it. Encourage yourself with these things. You know, if God can do all those things and put those things out there, then he can heal cancer. He can heal whatever, you know, that's we got going on here. But he can use different methods too to heal. You know, I mean, we love it when there is a miracle, you know, and there's just, you know, the scales just fall from our eyes, you know, automatically the cyst disappears, the dead are raised and all of these things. Those are working of miracles. And God can do that. But there's also gifts of healings, you know. So God can do miracles, raise the dead and so forth, you know, walk miracles like, but he can also do healings. And healing is always a process, you know, and all of those things exist, you know, in the body of Christ. The gifts to heal, the gift to walk miracles. I mean, walking of miracles can even go beyond, you know, just the body. It can go into the elements. It can stop the sun, the moon, the fish. It can, you know, make dead trees come to life and so on. You do all of these things all by the faith of God. But it can also bring healings. And the gifts of healings, they are plural. Because there's all kinds, diverse kinds of healings that God can bring. And he can do it all too. And then God can even use natural help. You know, he said, is there no balm in Gilead? You know, I mean, are there no physicians there? Jeremiah 8 and 22. Why then is the health of the daughter of my people not recovered? I mean, sometimes, you know, balm could be, you know, an ointment, could be a medicine, could be this, could be that, whatever it is. But the Lord wants us to always seek to him first, you know. Always seek to the Lord first, and the Lord will give you guidance of which way to go. Now, there was a time that Asa was sick, you know, and but the scripture says, but in his sickness, he sought not unto the Lord, you know, but he sought unto the physicians. So the Lord wasn't happy about that. If he had sought unto the Lord and then went unto physicians, that would be okay, you know, but he sought not unto the Lord, and he just, you know, went straight only to the physicians. You can read that story in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, you know, verse 12. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet, and his disease became exceeding great, yet in that disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. You know, and God wasn't happy about that. First, we must seek to the Lord, and the Lord may direct us to get help. You know, God gave us these physicians to get us help. You know, there's a funny story that somebody told one time, you know, of all the people that, you know, people of believers that died and went to heaven and challenged God that God didn't help them. And God said, well, you know, there was a man, you know, who was out in the boat, you know, I mean, out in the sea drowning. You know, and somebody came by in a boat and threw him a lifeline, but he didn't take it. You know, then he died. And then he got to heaven. It's a funny story. You know, it's not real, but, you know, and then he said to, you know, said to God, you know, I was drowning and you didn't help me. You know, you let me drown. Lord said, look, I sent somebody there and threw you a lifeline, but you didn't take it. You know, so that's why you died, you know. And the same thing, you know, another person, you know, they refuse help. You know, doctors can give us help sometimes. Medical people, amazing people. They do great work. In fact, many of them are believers, you know. In fact, we've had, you know, a situation where we went to, you know, some medical practitioners and the man turned around and prayed, you know, and I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, wow. And he said, look, you're a person of faith. The Lord will help you. And he said, can I pray for you? You know, and they joined hands and prayed. And I said, my goodness, we need more folks like that. You know, and there are many powerful, in fact, many of our sisters and brothers, they are in the medical field. They are full of faith and their faith can help their, you know, their people, you know. So look, the beloved physician who hung around with Paul all the time, he was a physician, you know. So, I mean, and he's the one that wrote the book of Luke, the book of Acts and many other things, you know, and, but he was a physician. I mean, there were times that he used his physician, know-how to help people. Sometimes they use the gift of miracles and gift of faith. And sometimes they use medicine to help the people. Whichever way it works, you know, accept the help. You know, unfortunately, sometimes people don't accept help or it's too late. You know, I have been very sadly grieved in some instances when somebody was sick for a long time and they would not accept help. And this was years, years ago. There was a sister like that. I was sick and they did not accept help. And they, you know, they kept believing God that they will be healed, which was okay. You know, but, you know, there was help that they could have, you know, gotten, but they didn't. And they were not healed. And it got worse. And it was a case of cancer. And the thing got worse. And then when it became, you know, too much, then they eventually rushed to the hospital. I'm like, why? You know, you should not go to the hospital at the end. If you refuse to go at the beginning, don't go at all. Just stay with what you've declared. But they rushed to the hospital at the end when it was far too late. You know, it could have done that at the beginning. Maybe they would have gotten some help. I mean, I believe in the power of God. You know, I use my faith. I believe faith, healing, miracles, anything you call it. I believe it all the time. But then there's time also then we can need to get some help. You know, are there no physicians there? Why then is the daughter of, I mean, the health of the daughter of my people not recovered? You know, so, you know, let's believe God and use our faith, but let's trust that God can send us help some other way too. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. They continue this day according to thy ordinances. You know, do you know that the earth, the moon, the rain, the thunder, all of these things, this verse right here reveals a secret. That's why oftentimes I say, well, the rain is not going to bother me. The rain is God's servant and I'm God's servant. Two servants of the same master should not walk opposite each other. So it's right here. All these ordinances, rain, sun, moon, thunder, lightning, they are God's servants. If they are God's servant and I'm God's servant, the rain's not going to bother me. It's doing its thing. I'm doing my thing. Hallelujah. We are both God's servants. The rain, the sun, the moon, the sun shall not beat down upon you because you are God's servant. You know, the moon shall not strike you, nor the sun beat upon you by day or night. You are all God's servant. That's a secret and a revelation for you out of verse 91. All these things are God's servants. Unless thy law had been my delight, then I should have perished in my affliction. He's always referring to that. But he turned to the law of the Lord and the Lord delivered him. Hallelujah. I will never forget thy precepts. For with them thou hast quickened me, brought me back to life. I am thine. Save me, O Lord, for I sought and I have sought thy precepts. You know, it's always a good thing to cry to the Lord for help. No matter how you find yourself, in what situation you are in, call on the Lord. That's a cry for help. It's a cry that the Lord can never deny. When you say, help me, O Lord. Peter began to walk on the water, but when he started to doubt and saw the waves were boisterous, he began to sink, took his eyes off the Lord. Began to look around his circumstances. I can't walk on water, you know, and then he began to sink. But he cried out, Lord, help me. The Lord helped me and said, Peter, why did you doubt? As long as you had your faith and your eyes on me, you were good. But you took your eyes off me and started to look at the waves. The waves were there the whole time. Should have kept your eyes on the Lord. But he cried unto the Lord. You know, we read the story of, Bartimaeus. He was a blind man. He cried to the Lord. Other two blind men, they cried to the Lord, say, have mercy upon us. People told them to shut up, but they cried them on. And the Bible says Jesus stopped in his tracks. And he stopped. You know, and he looked through the press and he said, bring them to me. You know, when you cry out for mercy, it always gets through to the Lord. Help, help, help. It always gets through to the Lord. When you cry to the Lord for help. Help me, Lord, and save me, he said. I have sought your precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, you know, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen the end of all perfection. Where is it at? The commandment is exceeding. Commandment is exceeding broad. It covers everything. Praise the Lord. Let me read a few more verses because I got to finish this up tomorrow. Still a long way to go. I'm going to read a few more sections. Oh, how I love thy law, for it is my meditation all the day. Well, that's a good one to mark in your Bible. You know, the law of the Lord, is it your meditation all the day? You know, thou through thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemies. See, that's what gives you an advantage. It's the word of God, you know, for thy commandments and thy word are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Glory to God. You know, this man, through the word of God and through his meditation upon the Lord's testimonies all day long, he became wiser. God gave him wisdom even beyond his enemies and his teachers. I understand more than the ancients. Ah, Makotari Labo Sharina. I understand more than the ancients. You know, one time Elihu said, look, I waited for days to speak. I waited for ye old men to say whatever, but you don't have anything that impressed me. And he said, look, it's not by age. It's not by this and that. There's some things you gain by age, but there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty is what gives them understanding. You know, I love that verse in Job 32, verse 8. The few verses leading up to that is what I just recited. Now, he said, look, I understand more than the ancients because I kept that precept. That's what gave him an advantage. I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, but thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Is that the way the word of God is to you? Is it? Well, you know, it was to this man. He said, through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. It is the word of God that will make you to hate evil things. So you must digest, meditate, eat the word of God every day. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 105 is a favorite one that we all love. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Hallelujah. And a light unto my path. What does that really mean? Well, you know, a lamp to your feet. You know, when you're walking along, you hold a lamp. The lamp doesn't really shine. It's not like a beam. It just gives light, you know. So where you are, you know, the word of God right there where you're standing gives you light. And it also is a beam ahead of you. That's right. And Jesus said himself, you know, he said, look, I am the light of the world. And if you walk with me and walk after me, you shall not have darkness, but you shall have the light of life. John 8 and verse 12. I am the light of this world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. The word of God, where you are, in your situation, it will be a lamp unto you. Decisions that you need to make ahead of you, the Lord's word will also be a light to your path. Glory to God. I'm going to read the rest of this section and we'll wrap it up there. You know, I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the free offerings, free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand. You know, it's like this man never knows, you know, what danger he's going to be in. One day it'll be running from despair. One day, another day is running from his son or whatever is going on around him, you know, trying to kill him. But he said, yet I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. My goodness, how often is he going to say that? No matter what's going around me, what I'm going through, what people are throwing at me, I stay with the word of God. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. Is that your testimony? Can you say today that I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end? Verse 112. Can you say that? Well, let's pray that prayer. That's where I'm going to end it today. We'll pick up the remaining from verse 113 to 176 or whatever tomorrow. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. May the Lord grant us the grace to do that, to determine in our hearts to perform his statutes even unto the end. When I was a young man, and the Lord called me first into the ministry many years ago, you know, the Lord gave me, you know, Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. And I made it a purpose, just like Ezra. He said, Ezra, you know, he determined in his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach, not only to seek it, but to do it. And then he also is determined in his heart to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And as a young man, I said, Lord, you know, I want to pursue thy word, seek the law of the Lord, and to do it. And also to teach the same. And by the grace of God, for many years, many, many years, that's what I've been doing. Let's pray that the Lord will help us to seek the law of the Lord, just like Ezra did, and just like the psalmist said here, in with all our heart, and to do it. And also to teach the same. Father, we pray for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to guide us in our hearts to the word of God at all times, that thy word may be our chief joy, that we meditate on thy statutes day and night, like this man said. You know, that thy joy, the word of the Lord will be a rejoicing to our hearts. And no matter what we are going through, we will not forget your precepts and your testimonies. And we will always go back to the word of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.